trust, belief, and accountability.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano.
Our team will be built around a humble, unselfish attitude of sacrifice.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
All right, folks. Welcome in here to this installment of Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach, Greg Schiano. I am TJ Reeves, and yes, a little less voice than normal. So playing a little hurt, but man, after a game like yesterday, I was not going to miss getting to sit here with the coach and go over what we saw in Carolina, particularly in the fourth quarter and overtime. As memorable a finish as you're going to see, and certainly in recent Buccaneer history, with a last-second touchdown, a two-point conversion, and then eventually the game-winning touchdown in overtime, the first time for the Bucs that they have ever experienced the new overtime rules, where a field goal is not good enough in and of itself at the beginning. If you go get a touchdown, though, you can win it, and the Bucs were able to do that. So let's get into the highlights of this game, and we go all the way back to the beginning. At the first quarter of this game, after Tampa Bay had held Carolina on their opening possession, Bucs unfortunately go three and out, but then the first of many big plays on the day would happen as Tampa Bay was punting, and this occurred.
Mike Keenan with a bullet. Boy, he got a rocket launch, backpedaling to the 15-yard line. Nowhere to go but a broken tackle and a missed tackle. And up the goal, fumble football. It's loose. It's being covered by who? Bucs die for it. Buccaneers may have the football. Boy, that bounced off three or four different players. Bucs say they've got it. Bucs say we've got it. And Dakota Watson's going to come out of there with that pigskin. How about that?
Yeah, changed hands a couple of times, and eventually Dakota Watson did have it, and the Buccaneers were in business right away there after that fumble recovery, and a drive ensued that saw Josh Freeman pick up a first down on a scramble, saw Doug Martin run for 5 yards, saw Josh Freeman scramble again for 7 yards, and that set up first and goal right here.
From the 3-yard line, Freeman, play action fake, sells it nicely, looks back to him, throws the ball toward the end zone, caught! Inbounds, touchdown, Tampa Bay! It's to a tight end, making his first career catch, Nate Byam. Byam has his first career catch, and he had to climb a ladder to do it. Where did he come from?
Well, a great catch there in the back of the end zone. They did look at it for just a second or two, and they determined that, yes, it was a touchdown, the first of Nate Byam's career, and the Buccaneers off to a 7-0 lead on the road, quieting the Carolina crowd. And then the Buccaneer defense holds for a three and out. The Bucs are able to make a big pass play to Vincent Jackson. They move into scoring position, drive stalls right around the 33-yard line. Time for Connor Barth, who from 50 yards away has been tremendous throughout his Buccaneer career and was again on Sunday.
51-yard field goal attempt. Good spot. The kick is long enough. It is good. Connor Barth, a line drive kick in the wind on a cold day in Charlotte, and he gives the Buccaneers a 10-0 lead.
All right, so the 10-0 advantage there, and again, Bucs appeared to be in command. Unfortunately, for one of the rare times recently, a turnover by the Buccaneers. Captain Munnerlyn with an interception runs it back for a touchdown, gave Carolina some momentum. They later got a Jonathan Stewart touchdown to lead 14-10. And why don't we do this? We'll just skip completely ahead to the good stuff. You always liked dessert first when you were growing up, right? So let's get to the dessert here on this one. Waning moments of the game with the Bucs trailing 21-13. It would be Josh Freeman with an incredible touchdown here to Vincent Jackson in the waning seconds of this game. Here's the way that it sounded yesterday.
First down to the 24-yard line of Carolina with 20 seconds remaining. Freeman in the shotgun. Martin back there, too. Here's the snap. Freeman looks, throws a post. It is caught. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Vincent Jackson. Great throw by Josh Freeman. The Bucs are 2 points away from tying.
Really an incredible catch when you look at it on replays from Freeman, especially with the fact that he rifles the ball in between two defenders. Incredible catch by Jackson. Great throw by Josh. And then Vincent Jackson having to outfight Luke Kuechly of Carolina to come up with the ball, hang on to the ball, get the feet down. just a great play. And obviously that set the stage for even more drama because it wasn't good enough to just get the touchdown. You had to have a two-point conversion. Carolina called a timeout to see what the Buccaneers' alignment was, kind of like that basketball thing. We want to see how you line up. Buccaneers came back out, and here was the two-point tying play.
Two-point conversion, trying to tie. We trail 21-19 out of the shotgun. Josh Freeman takes the snap. Inside play action fake. Josh Freeman throws a call. A ball. It's called. Two-point conversion. Vincent Jackson, we're tied with 12 seconds remaining. How about Josh Freeman? He got red hot when we needed him to. And Vincent Jackson earns a big paycheck today.
Incredible sequence at the end of the game where the Buccaneers get the touchdown, get the two, and when it looked like Carolina was going to be winning the game, suddenly now it's game on big time. The Panthers elect after the kickoff to kneel on the ball, only a few seconds left in regulation, and then a very important coin toss where it was Andrew Economos this time calling tails. Rondé Barber's been so good at calling tails and winning. This time it was Andrew Economos calling tails and winning. Bucks end up getting the football. Again, the new overtime rules in effect, and Tampa Bay would go on offense and go to Doug Martin, obviously, right away.
Clark in motion from right to left of the formation. From the 20, moving right. Freeman hands the ball off. Doug Martin pops it cleanly to the 25 to the 30. Martin is out to the 31-yard line. Again, Clark in motion. Feed the ball to Doug Martin. Running back to the right. Daylight to the 35 to the 40. Doug Martin with a block around front of the 50. He's to the 40 to the 42-yard line. Doug Martin with back-to-back big run.
Again, those two runs covering 27 and 13 yards help set this up. History for the Buccaneers looking for a touchdown to end the game on the first possession, and they would get it.
Shotgun formation from the 15, first down. Freeman looking, throws a sideline route. It is caught. Dallas Clark, did he have 4 feet in bounds? If he did, it's a touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Bucs win in overtime.
There's the way that it sounded, as Tampa Bay wins 27-21. And with that, we say hello and good evening to the head coach, Greg Schiano. There have been a lot of wild Buccaneer games. That's right near the top of the list in terms of finishes. Congratulations, and now it's been about 24 hours. Tell me about it.
We can't take you out of Florida, TJ. Look at you.
I know.
Getting into the cold weather, you're all hoarse.
Little voice stuff. I wasn't gonna miss this show, though.
I got you. Well, you know what? In watching the tape, it was certainly a game that had many different changes in the momentum. You know, we came out early and we're going on all cylinders, and then things kind of flipped on us. And you know, but the one consistent thing is our guys, whether the results were good or the results weren't so good, our guys kept fighting and battling and trying to do their job the best they could. And eventually, you know, that was what led to the comeback and eventually the game-winning touchdown.
You know, there are so many different analogies that you can use about don't ever give up, 60-minute game, whatever the case is. But just watching your team on that final drive, there was no panic. The look was we're going to go down and tie this game up. How impressed were you by seeing that all unfold?
Well, I was pleased, really pleased that, you know, we spend an awful lot of time practicing, discussing, reviewing situational football, and to see our guys have a confidence level that, okay, we've done this before in practice. Let's go out now and do it in a game. And, you know, my hat's off to all those Buccaneer fans that were in the stands at the end of the game. That was awesome. You know, when we scored and you heard all our Bucs fans screaming and yelling, that was good stuff.
So you get that touchdown, and now you still got to get the two-point conversion. So there's some anxious moments, and Carolina calls a timeout after they see you come out. I guess let's have some fun here. Were you playing games, or were you going to actually run whatever it was you were going to run? I mean, it's just an interesting thing where they were trying to figure out what you were going to do. You come back out, you run something and score anyway. It was just a fun sequence there. You know, it was anxious, but it was fun to watch all that unfold.
Well, you definitely have to have play ready because there's no telling if they're going to call a timeout or not. You know, there is it's a part of football for sure. You know, it's very similar to the basketball inbound, you know, scenario. But I thought between Josh and Mike Sullivan, our offensive coaches, did an excellent job. You know, I was asked yesterday in the press conference, did we change the call? I don't go into all that stuff.
Right.
You don't want to give that away. Now, I understand our quarterback said a few things, which I like the way he's thinking, so it's good. We leave a few smoke screens out there, and really that's our job to make sure that what we're thinking stays in our head and not public knowledge.
All right, so you tie the game, and as I was mentioning just as we began this, new overtime rule. So this is the first time to experience the new overtime rule where a touchdown can end the game. And I remember asking Josh after the game yesterday, was the immediate mindset go down and get 7 points and let's end it right here? His answer was absolutely. So just tell me about that drive that results in seven, actually six, and it ends the game.
Well, you know, without a doubt, you'd like to go score if you get the ball first, because then, you know, there is no bottom half of the inning, so to speak. You win. But in the same token, when you get the ball in field goal range now, I think Josh did an excellent job and Mike Sullivan did an excellent job of calling plays that had a chance to keep moving the ball forward or score, but that weren't high-risk plays. Now, anytime you drop back to pass, there is some risk involved. But, you know, we felt with our kicker, we had 3 points. Let's see if we can score here and win the game, no doubt. But if we don't score, let's not do anything that would give the ball up out of field goal range.
The touchdown play to Dallas Clark. You've now had numerous opportunities to see it, whether it's on TV or the coach's tape. How good is that play? Throw, catch, all the way around.
Well, it was really well executed. And, you know, I think the timing of calling it was excellent, too. It's something that we haven't shown. And we have shown the other where we just do run Dallas on a diagonal there, and he turns it up the sideline, and, you know, you knew when you were watching it he had him. You know, and as long as Josh saw him, it was going to be six, and he actually made a very good catch. You know, he wheeled back on the football and kept his feet in bounds. You know, big catch by a veteran guy that just came on board this year and has been great not only on the field with his play but off the field with his quiet leadership.
And that was obviously a wild ensuing celebration. I know the TV cameras saw Coach P.J. Fleck there with you. I mean, what was your immediate thought when that? I mean, I know you're trying to stay composed, but at that moment, game is over and you have won. Is your immediate thought, wow? What is your immediate thought?
Well, I was just happy for the players, happy for everybody involved. And then my power cleaning receiver coach, P.J. Fleck, all of a sudden popped up. I didn't know he was that strong. And but that was fun. A lot of fun for the whole team. You know, to see grown men, it brings you right back to junior high. I mean, the excitement, the guys jumping all over and getting to the locker room. You know, you don't get that a lot, you know, as you move on in sport, but that was one to remember.
All right, so we have got much to cover with the coach. Obviously, you can hear that I'm a little less than 100%, so guess what? That means more of you folks. Let's go. 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. We will take your questions. We will take your comments. We will also get to the Atlanta Falcons as we go along, too. They're the opponent on Sunday. We will be back. It's Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we are back in here on this Monday night after an exciting Buccaneer victory, to say the least, a 27-21 win over the Carolina Panthers. We're going to go to your phone calls here in just a moment. You can also tweet in a question at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, if you don't want to wait on hold, can't get through, whatever the case is. So a little bonus here. We'll get a little extra phone calls in for the night. Coach, you ready?
I am.
We go to Tommy, who is first, and he is calling us from New Jersey. Hey, Tommy.
How you doing, Coach? This is Tommy from Point Pleasant.
Hey, Tommy, how's it going?
Okay, a little under the weather, but I was able to watch the game on the DirecTV, you know, and I was saying, man, it didn't look too good. I kept telling my girlfriend, I said, nah, this might not be their day today, you know? And we kept watching and watching, and I said, you know, everybody held, you know, stayed up strong. The defense made a couple stops, and then finally the offense, Freeman started to get more, you know, he seemed like when it was urgent, he got the ball in the right spot, you know? And it was
yeah,
really –
yeah, I'll tell you what, it was some
– some tough plays. Hello?
All right, Tommy, good enough. I think Tommy's hearing us on delay. That might be what part of the problem is. Go ahead there, Coach.
Well, you know, I know what Tommy's driving at. It was, you know, it was a rocky game. You know, we were kind of playing in spurts. I shouldn't say that. We were effective in spurts. We were playing hard the whole time. Just wasn't clicking. But, you know, again, when you stay at it, eventually, you know, hopefully it does, and it did Sunday for sure. But, again, my buddy Tommy staying in touch. I love it.
When things aren't going as well, what do you go over with your team? What are you trying to emphasize to get it back on track? Because fans, you know, see the rah-rah speeches in NFL films or in the movies, but what are you focusing on to try to get them back on track?
Well, the process is the key, right? So you have to focus on the process, all the little things that you coach, all the little things that are involved in the game plan. And then hopefully, you know, when you do that, the plays start to come together. It, you know, what happens if you're not careful, you start chasing the game. And emotionally you chase it, and physically you chase it, and you don't really ever get back on track. So the way to play yourself back into a rhythm is focus on all the details.
All right, we'll go back to the phones here. Here is Fred in Brandon. You are next here with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Fred.
Good afternoon, TJ. Thanks for taking my call. Coach Schiano, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Fred?
I'm doing good. I wanted to, you know, I want to thank you again for a great game yesterday. It's been wonderful all year long, and thank you for everything that you're bringing to our Bucks and the players working hard. And I know we hear about players getting hurt and being below the weather, but I hope you and your staff are, because you're working hard all the time, 24/7, I can tell. And I hope you all are getting plenty of rest and staying healthy for the game as well. I wanted to ask you a question, though. This is something I noticed back from the Minnesota.
And I think we lost him, unfortunately, on the cell phone. Hey, Fred, go ahead and ask the question again. We didn't hear the whole question, so start over if you would. Okay, actually, he is gone. All right, he was going to ask us something about Minnesota. On the health of your team, you were saying earlier today at the news conference, Jamon Meredith was able to play in this game, and you used the word miraculous, how he was able to be healthy enough to play the entire game. Just, I mean, say something about the effort on something like that. And there's some other guys playing hurt on this team, too, this time of year, obviously.
Well, on every NFL team there are at this time of year. But, you know, Jamon's situation is unique in that he got rolled up on Wednesday in practice. One of our guys fell into him when he was blocking. And when you watch a practice tape, generally when you see an injury occur like it did, it's not good. And, you know, initial impressions were, uh-oh. But between our training staff and our medical doctors and Jamon's want to, they worked incredibly hard to get him ready. And by Sunday, he was ready to play, which was a testament to a lot of people's hard work and, you know, I think some blessings from above.
Back to the offensive line. I mean, yet again, they're able to give Josh time for the most part. When the game is on the line, you're able to run the ball, especially in overtime. Just say some more about the way that they are playing.
Well, you know, they're really battling their guts out. This front four we played against Sunday was as good as we're going to face as far as getting after the passer. And, you know, Josh got hit more than he normally does. I can tell you, he's sore today. But you know what? You hit it on the head. At the end of the game, when we really needed to do it most, they really protected well and gave Josh just that extra second to get the ball down the field. And that's all Josh needed, you know, and he did a tremendous job.
All right, back to the phones. Here is David in Tampa. You are next here with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing? Great. Hey, congratulations. Great game yesterday. Very exciting finish. Congratulations to all the players. Quick question. You know, yesterday in watching the game, it just seemed that early in the game we were kind of abandoning the run a little bit more than we have been in the past, kind of going right to the pass. I was wondering if that was kind of a result of everybody just kind of keying on Doug Martin, or is that – kind of something that y'all lay out in the strategy? It seemed like we were kind of jumping away from that earlier on. Thanks a lot. Good job. And good luck against Atlanta.
Well, I appreciate it, David. You know what? I kind of agree with you. Mike and I talked. What happened is they were giving us a lot of single high. And in the first ball game, they didn't do that. When I say single high, I mean an eight-man front where they have a safety in the middle of the field. And when you do that, what happens is you put your receivers one-on-one. And, you know, we really thought that was a great opportunity to throw the ball one-on-one to our wide receivers. But a combination of things, a good pass rush by them, a strong wind that affected a few throws, and some of our imprecision kept some of those passes that have been complete in the past weeks as incomplete passes. And when you look up at halftime and you only have 10 or 12 runs, you know, you do say, okay, we need to give Doug a chance, get him some more opportunities, because when you give our line and Doug Martin some chances, we're going to make some yards.
You know, and on that point, you've talked to us, and other coaches bring this up all the time. Early on in a game, there's kind of punch, counterpunch. Let's see what works. Let's stick with things that are – that's part of the coaching aspect and the adjustment aspect. Can you elaborate? Because that's going on both sides of the ball and even special teams, right, on how you line up and, you know, what kind of front are you facing and what are we going to do against it, right?
You're right. And, you know, a lot of times you go into a game expecting the defense or the offense of the opposition to do it a certain way. Sometimes they do, and then sometimes they do it a different way. And then sometimes it's a mix. And you need to identify quickly what is their plan today, and how are they prepared to stop us, or how are they prepared to move the ball on us. And, you know, then you have to adapt as you go along. And that, to me, is what in-game adjustments are all about.
Well, and again, this game, as you wore on, you were able to make those adjustments, and you were able to obviously put points on the board when you had to, scoring essentially 11 points on the final two drives and then a touchdown on the third and final drive. So when it had to be done, it was done. A couple of questions from callers. This one on Twitter. A fan wants to know about running right versus running left, kind of along those same lines, because you've had some success early in the year running left. Yesterday you had some success, especially in the overtime, running right. Did it just work out that way yesterday against the front or against the look?
Yeah, we're very aware. We don't want to become a right-handed team or a left-handed team for that matter. So we are aware. We self-scout and we chart ourselves. Sometimes it has to do with who's playing defensively on both sides. You know, if there's clearly a dominant player on one side, there's certain runs that you want to go right at them, and there's certain runs you'd like to go away from them. So it all comes into play, including our own personnel on the offensive line. You know, with Jamon a little banged up, you say, well, do you go away or do you go to him? You try to figure out which blocks are easier or more favorable for Jamon with the ankle. So I thought our coaches did a good job in the clutch coming up with some runs that produced.
All right, we'll go back to the phones again. Here is Larry in Clearwater. You are next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Larry. Okay, actually, Larry is gone there on that moment. You know, back to Doug Martin, because he's getting so much attention, not in this area, but everywhere else. And the thing that I think Buccaneer fans maybe can't appreciate, if you're not down at field level where I get the privilege to be down there with you, is how hard he hits the hole, even if there are bodies in the way, Coach. And it also leads to his ability to hit that hole, and if there's not a body there, scoots out, squirts out. But just, I mean, on that particular point where he's hitting the hole, even if he knows there's a big collision coming.
Well, you're right when you talk about Doug. You want, number one, he hits the hole with really good acceleration, and because of his natural stature, and then he bends and he's in a powerful position, he gets underneath a lot of defenders. So you take those two things, and then his leg strength and drive, very rarely do you see him falling back towards the line of scrimmage. He's always falling towards the defense. And to me, as a coach, when you watch a game, you want to see your ball carrier falling forward. And conversely, when you're on defense, you want to see the opponent's ball carrier falling back toward the line of scrimmage. And that's a big thing to coaches.
All right, we'll go back to the phones. And here is Matt in Valrico. You are next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Matt.
Good evening, gentlemen. Coach Ciano, congratulations on a great win. I thought our team showed a lot of resiliency and heart. Definitely accountability this year. I want you to get that record for points scored in a season. I thought it was a great adjustment when the fade was taken away to start hitting Dallas Clark. And I was wondering if you could use him like a Jay Novacek as a cover two beater, running option routes, stuff like that, if he's going to be more of a focal point of our offense now that teams are trying to take away the fade. Hello?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. I think that, you know, as we move forward and people start doing some double clouded corners, which means rolling the two corners up on and having some help over the top, if you don't use your tight end, you're kind of out of luck. And we have some tight ends, not only in Dallas, but in Luke, and we need to make sure that we utilize them, in the pass game. And we will. And I think we have to an extent. a la the winning touchdown, but I think there's more. I think there's more to come here as the offense continues to expand.
And on the point of the tight ends, Nate Byam makes a great catch. I know it was all the way back in the first quarter, but that's not an easy catch there in the back of the end zone. Just talk about that play a little more.
Well, it's a great catch. It's a great catch, and I know Nate is known more as a tough guy and a good blocker, but I know from his days at the University of Pittsburgh when we used to coach against him that he has tremendous hands. And, that was a heck of a catch in the back of the end zone. That was a hot ball to handle.
You mentioned the tight ends and Dallas Clark, a veteran presence there in that room with some younger guys. I don't think that can be emphasized enough. Vincent Jackson is that way. You've got some other veterans at some other positions. But what about Dallas Clark with the younger guys in the tight end room and out on the practice field, Coach?
Oh, he's been great. When you have a veteran guy, number one, he brings all his experiences with him. And when you have a veteran guy like Dallas, he brings that, there's a guy who sees the glass half full all the time. He's got the right outlook, and he doesn't let those guys get down, and he's a professional. The way he works in practice, the way he approaches his preparation, he's a great role model for our young tight ends. And, again, you hear me say this a lot, but I'm glad he's on our team.
All right, and obviously the great catch there at the end, Buccaneer fans elated that he's now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saw him do that so many times for the Colts, even against the Bucs, but did it for the Buccaneers there on Sunday. We will have more with head coach Greg Schiano on Buccaneers Total Access. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Here we go. All right, we are back in here with the head coach on this Monday night. We will talk Atlanta Falcons in just a moment or two as the Bucs get the victory in Carolina, 27-21, completing the division sweep over the Panthers and the first four-game win streak as well for Tampa Bay going back to the 2008 season. So there was a lot of importance there. On that, I've asked you this before for the fans here that are kind of just joining us on this. It'll kind of recap the game just a little bit. You guys have been so good in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, battling with the game on the line, and it was the case again yesterday. Why recently have you been so good at putting games away that earlier in the year could have gone either way, maybe didn't go the way you wanted, the last four have? What's been the big differences?
Well, I'm not quite sure exactly what the differences are other than the guys have become more and more comfortable with what we're doing. I think they're becoming better versed in the strategy of the game and all those things. And, every little bit helps. The coaches are getting more comfortable with each other. And what we need to do is make sure that continues, and not only at the end of games but throughout games. We've had opportunities, I think, that, Sunday being one, we're up 10-0 and we're driving, and then all of a sudden we turn one over. If we can avoid doing that, even if we walk away with 3 points, it's 13-0. That's important. We need to keep growing together. But I think that is occurring.
One thing you have said, and your players have echoed this too, and it's a part of sports. There's going to be adversity, especially on the road. You mentioned the turnover where they get an interception return for a touchdown. They get the touchdown drive there in the fourth quarter to go up 21-10. There's going to be adversity. Your team has just responded over and over again to that adversity, especially on the road. That's got to make you proud as a head coach, make your staff proud, the way that they have responded when there's adversity, right?
Well, you know what? The old saying, adversity reveals character. It doesn't build it. And I believe in that. I think that, you build it in your preparation. You build it in what you believe in. But when you get in those situations where the chips are against you, that's when it's revealed. And we have a bunch of guys out on that field that are fighters, a bunch of guys who believe in each other. And, it's not just in-game adversity. You're looking at losing our two guards offensively and the guys stepping up, losing our defensive end, guys stepping up, losing our linebacker last week, guys stepping up. Adam Hayward steps up, and goes in there and plays his guts out. So, that's what, we try to talk about early on, right, that these things are going to happen. That's life in the National Football League. But until they happen, you're not sure how your guys are going to respond. And we've been pleased with, the fight and the determination that our guys have exhibited.
All right, we will go back to the phones. Here is Dave in Newport Richie. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Coach.
We're good.
Hey, how you doing? Good. I just want to say, I made the trip up to the game yesterday, and I just was really impressed talking to even Carolina fans how much of an impact you've had, and either other teams' fans, the respect they have and what you've done and what you've brought to the team. I mean, it's not just Bucks fans that are noticing it. It's around the league, and it's a really nice change that, you know, even opposing fans are picking up on it. I just congratulate you for that. My question is, what's going on the defensive side of the ball? The last 2-3 weeks, seen a lot more pressure on the quarterback. Seen Cam was running a lot. We're getting Bowers is really stepping up. We're seeing a lot of, even though we had tackles for loss, I think we're seeing more pressure on the quarterback, more sacks, and kind of leading to those picks in the secondary with the quarter being pressed. Are you running different coverages or just any stunts, or what's kind of been the change in the defensive game plan up front?
Well, Dave, first let me thank you for making the effort to go on up there to Carolina and supporting us. I mentioned earlier in the show, I was amazed by how many Buccaneer fans were in Charlotte on Sunday. It was really, really cool. And I'll tell you, at the end of the game, you know, I think a lot of the Panther fans maybe went home because it sounded more like a Bucs home game when we were driving there and when we scored. So that, my hat's off to all you Buc fans that made the effort to get there, and I appreciate your efforts, Dave. Talking about the defense, I think we're starting to get a little bit better pressure on the quarterback, and that's what you need to do. And when we talk about pressure, it's not only sacks and sack fumbles, but it's getting the quarterback off the spot. And just like any great shooter in basketball, they have a spot that they can hit from. Quarterbacks are the same way. And if they're comfortable on that spot, then they really have an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. But if you can make them move their feet and you can kind of get your hand in the way of the throw, it may only alter the throw a few inches at the point of departure, but it alters it a yard or two where it's coming down 20 yards later. And that's how you tie pass rush into pass interceptions. And the other way is when the quarterback knows he's going to get hit, that isn't a comfortable feeling either, right? So he's going to try to alter his release, or he's going to try to move just a little bit before he releases it. Yeah, so they certainly play off each other, and our guys are getting better. And you mentioned one guy, Daquan Bowers. You know, he comes back in the Minnesota game and just keeps getting better and better each week, playing a little bit more in all our packages. But the sack he had when he just went, you know, speed to power and just ran the tackle over right to the quarterback, that's an impressive NFL sack.
No doubt about that. All right, it is Buccaneers Total Access, so let's have a little fun with the head coach here. You just made a basketball reference about the sport. Did you ever shoot the hoops back in the day, and did you have a spot if you did? Come on.
Way back in the day, and no, there wasn't a lot of spots that people feared me on the court. No. I was the linebacker who was more of a defensive specialist.
Okay, so your spot was go guard, huh?
Yeah.
Defensive guy.
Yeah.
All right, I'm
yeah.
just checking.
Razor
Hold
elbows.
On. Yeah. All right, Mike is in Connecticut listening to us, I believe, here through the technology. You're on Buccaneers Total Access with the coach. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? Thanks for a great win yesterday. I wanted to bring up one thing for you up here in the Northeast. Not a fan myself, but a lot of my friends are alumni of Rutgers, and they're having a great season. And I guess you're probably pretty proud that you left them in good hands, and it looks like they might possibly make it to the BCS. So that's a great thing. You've made me interested in the Rutgers program, even being a Penn State alumni. But more importantly, with the offensive line, I was real curious on what your thoughts are of fitting either the player into the process or the process into the player. I guess the example would be kind of like Bill Belichick. I've always been fascinated what he does up here in New England with shoving guys in like Edelman and Gronkowski and guys you never heard of. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on that and being able to keep the team together, even having a lot of these crazy injuries that have happened. But have a great Thanksgiving and keep up the good work. Thanks, Coach.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call and your kind words. You know, first you mentioned Rutgers, and I'm really proud of the guys, the kind of season they're having. Coach Kyle Flood, who was on our staff for 7 years, and I was so excited when he did get the head coaching job, and, you know, to have continuity in the program and to have a bunch of great kids that are playing there led by a really special man. So thrilled about their season, and we'll be rooting hard these next couple of weeks for them. When you talk about fitting the player to the program or the program to the player, I think it's a mix. I think, you know, when you're going out and identifying players that you want to bring into your program and bring into your organization here with the Bucks, Mark Dominic, myself, our whole personnel, we kind of have a, an idea of the kind of guy that we want in the program. And, you know, that kind of guy is a trustworthy guy, is an unselfish guy, is a guy that loves the game of football. And when we have those kind of guys, it's not quite as important, you know, are they 6 foot six or are they 6 foot four? You know, do they run a 4.44 40 or they run a 4.640? Because, you know, intelligence and want to and unselfishness and toughness and love of the game make up for a lot of that stuff. So it's not where we ignore physical attributes. We're looking certainly for the totally gifted physical player who has all the emotional makeup and all the intelligence, but there's only a few of them out there. And then you really got to try to identify guys that fit your program, fit your organization. And that's going to be our biggest challenge moving forward is keeping together our group and going and finding more guys that truly fit into what we want to be. And but you know, I have total confidence. We got a great general manager. We got great people in our personnel area, and we got great coaches. And we're going to work tirelessly to bring in, you know, what we call Buccaneer men, and that covers a lot of different things.
Interesting when you were saying that you have talked, and you actually talked in the lead up to this game about Jeremy Zuta. Now that's a player you coached at Rutgers, and now by a professional, you know, whatever you want to call it, coincidence, karma, all of it. Now here you are in the NFL with him as a player. You said something last week that was interesting. You knew his freshman year at Rutgers about his versatility on the offensive line, and you saw that versatility throughout his career. And I don't think it can go overemphasized. He's moved around this offensive line and has played very well at every position. Just elaborate on him kind of personifying what you were just talking about.
Well, you're right. Jeremy is that guy, you know, and finally after a few years in this league, he gets the opportunity to be the center, you know, because at the Buccaneers, Jeremy played a bunch of different positions on the offensive line. Finally, he gets to settle in at one position, which any player, that's what they want to do, right? They want to perfect their craft at a position. And, you know, I think what really showed is when we called Jeremy in and said, hey, look, this is definitely what we need to do. It's the best thing for our football team. You know, although I know he didn't want to move to guard, he did it for the betterment of the team and has been lights out. I mean, just playing his tail off. You know, the 2 weeks that we've asked him to do it. And I think also with Ted going to center and Jeremy and Ted working together, that's been good. So we need to keep improving, that's for sure. You know, there's a couple things Carolina did to us that we wish we could go back and do it over again. But we'll learn from it and we'll move forward. And when you have smart, tough football players like Jeremy and Ted Larson and all the guys, and, you know, they're going to work at it. And they got tremendous coaches in Bob Bostad and Steve Loney. So it's just going to keep getting better.
All right, we'll go back to the phones here on Total Access while we have a moment. Here is Zito in Tampa. You're on here with the head coach. Hey, Zito.
Hi, good afternoon, Coach. Great win. Congratulations. We're all glad to have a win on Monday, that's for sure. But I wanted to ask you about a couple of things. The first thing was, I guess you've been able to find a couple guys, especially the two that I wanted to talk about is Teo something or other on the defensive line, and Lorig, who is blowing up people in the hole as a fullback on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball. That's number one, if you could speak about those two guys, because those are really guys that don't get highlighted by doing a tremendous job for you. And I also wanted to say, how did you see in this game the passing defense? Yeah, you know, our starting, you know, our best cornerback got, you know, was out of the game because of his Achilles, and I wanted to see what you saw in his backup, Daquan Lewis, and also the other fellow, Johnson, I believe his name is, but Leonard Johnson. So just wanted to speak about those guys if you could, because I'm really interested to know a little bit more about them. Go Bucks! Thank you, Coach, and great, great job. We're all behind you. Go Bucks, go
Cosciano
for sure.
Well, Zito, thank you for the kind words, and you covered a lot of ground there. We got the defense pretty much under wraps here, but you know, I think you mentioned two guys that are doing a tremendous job, and Daniel Tanashim, who just stepped up. You know, when we lost the AC and he goes down, and Daniel didn't miss a beat. He went in there and has played great. I mean, just physical and attention to detail and all the things that we need him to do. He's doing a tremendous job. And then Eric Lorig on offense at the fullback position. you know, that's a lost art. There aren't a lot of fullbacks left in this league that can go in there and thump it the way he does and block people, and then he's athletic enough to catch the ball and do some things with it. So we feel very fortunate to have both these guys on our squad, and they're very, very big contributors every week. So they're doing a great job. And then Zito wanted to know a little bit about the pass defense, you know, with Eric Wright going down. You know, he's had his troubles with the Achilles and the ankle. And, you know, he's trying his guts out, trying to play, and he goes as long as he can. And then, you know, when he tweaks it, it's very painful. So we've had guys step up. You know, Leonard Johnson initially steps up and does a great job the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks now, and really playing solid, solid football at the corner position. And Laquan Lewis has stepped up and you know, as a reserve guy and come in and done a good job. E.J. Biggers, you know, lining up and playing not only at the corner but playing at the nickel position. So guys are taking advantage of their opportunities, and we're getting better at pass coverage. You know, early on we threw some clunkers in there, but we're getting better and better each week. It's margin, little by little, we'll get better, and it all ties together with the pass rush and the pass coverage. But we keep playing run defense the way we are, and we get the pass defense a little bit better, and we're going to be okay.
Well, and you look at the number of times, I know you gave up a touchdown in the second half, but you look at the number of times that you got stops, including the biggest stop at the end of regulation where you got the ball back. That's about all you can ask for as an offense. Get us the ball, give us the chance. The defense absolutely did that at the end of the game.
Well, you know, and again, at the end of the day, it's about points allowed. And, you know, the defense gave up 14 points is what it boils down to on Sunday. And if you can do that, you can win a lot of football games. And especially in this league where, you know, passing is at such a premium, 14 points comes pretty quickly. So we just need to keep doing it, keep hanging in there, getting better, getting more precise. The thing that we have to continue to do, and that's kind of our calling card on defense, is we have to swarm the football, 11 guys, and we got to tackle when we get there. And, you know, we're getting better and better at doing that. But when you throw video on or you throw a TV game on, you know, that's our goal, that the Buck defense, you say immediately, oh, that's the Bucks, how hard they're playing. And that wants, you know, we want that to be our recognizable feature more than anything else.
All right, we will have more with head coach Greg Schiano. It's Buccaneers Total Access. We'll talk Atlanta Falcons here when we get back. It is brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we are back here with head coach Greg Schiano. It is Buccaneers Total Access. And we get ready for the Atlanta Falcons to come in. The first of two meetings with the Falcons, coach. They come off of a wild game for them, a game they trailed a lot of against Arizona, a game where Matt Ryan threw five interceptions, and yet they still found a way to win. But what stands out here in the preview mode as we get ready for the Falcons this Sunday?
Well, hey, look, you know, I think when you look at the Atlanta Falcons, it starts with old number two there at quarterback. You know, he is he's doing a heck of a job and having a great season, although this past week he threw a few interceptions, but they still found a way to win. So, but they have great skill people. You know, Julio Jones just, you know, again, you know, having a great year. And when you look at Roddy White, you know, just steady Eddie. So, you know, a lot of catches and so we got our hands full stopping them. And then defensively, you know, we're going to have to really buckle down to protect the passer, because it's going to be an onslaught on us. You know, we're going to have to try to really do the things we do best, because we can't get away from that. You know, with Mike Nolan going over there as defensive coordinator, they have really found their stride defensively and are playing very well. So We have our hands full, and that's what makes it fun. They're 9-1 for a reason, and they're coming into our stadium, and we're looking forward to it.
We'll see one of those matchups that you were alluding to, where John Abraham is going to go on that right end a lot of the time, and Donald Penn for you is over there, a couple of Pro Bowl caliber players in Abraham on the pass rush, and Donald Penn over there. So that's, you know, that's something that fans will focus on, and that's obviously going to be one of the big matchups there.
Well, you know what? We got to protect our guy, number five over there. You know, we have to protect him, because if we do, he will make plays. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to find ways to make sure we can do that, as well as run the football. And, you know, offensively, coaches are right now back in the think tank coming up with some plans. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to head back there and sit down with the offense and hear what we got cooking. So looking forward to it. This is always a fun time during the week as a coach. You know, you're starting to put together the early stages of the game plan, and you get a chance to look at your opponent and get a feel for them and talk personnel this evening. And, you know, it's the formative stage, but it's, you know, you got to make sure that stage goes right so the rest of it will go right.
Michael Turner and their run game. They kind of have a couple of backs that do different things, because Turner can run it, and then you've got Jaquiz Rogers, who is a smaller back that kind of catches the ball more out of the backfield. Just talk about their run game and those two guys, if you would.
Well, you know what? They've had kind of mixed results running the football, and I'm not sure why, and I got to study it more. But they're both very dangerous backs, and they both can hit the home run. So we have to be on point, because, you know, an opponent like this, you make one mistake, it can be a touchdown. And that's going to have to be, you know, we've played good run defense. We have to continue to do that. You know, run defense to me is knowing what you're doing, giving great effort, and then tackling well. And if we can do that, I think we continue to play great run defense.
All right, and this is a fun, you know, a fun one where fans enjoy this. You have won four games in a row, but you have said to us, and other coaches say this too, and it's true, but it's also human nature. You got to put the past behind you, but your team has won four games in a row. Some would look at that and say momentum, would say confidence. How do you translate that, harness that into the game with Atlanta?
Well, I promise you right now, I'd be very disappointed if our football team didn't know. They're 9-1 for a reason. We have our biggest challenge to date coming into town, coming into our stadium, and I know that our team is going to prepare their tails off, and then we're going to have to go out and do it, you know, in the stadium on game day, and it's going to be a great challenge. So I think Atlanta's got our attention for sure, and we're going to do our very best.
And you're back at home in front of the Buccaneer fans, which it's been raucous, and I know it's everything that you would want to be back at home here for this matchup with the guys leading the NFC South.
Can't wait. Can't wait. There's no better place to play, and we just need our fans to, you know, to understand that they are certainly part of the winning equation. When you play at home, the home field advantage is huge. You know, you take into account, you know, a little bit of the heat that we have here and a lot of bit of our fans, because our fans are critical. So come on out and help us win this thing.
We will have more with Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network.